Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
In the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
Did you just look behind me? I'm glad you didn't notice till the film started. I wanted to honor our Cornelius. So Garther is holding him like a baby. He's cuddling him.
We're
going
to include this now.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
It's the way he's holding him that really got me. Okay. Well,
that can be a behind the scenes clip.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hello and welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday. It's Friday, August 16th. It's actually Friday this week. Thank you again for hanging in with us last week. Some folks said, as soon as Heather says the date and that it's time again for another Freaky Friday where we share your odd but true stories, the weekend has begun and that's just law. So
if the weekend begins on a Wednesday,
it does.
You're welcome.
Yeah, exactly. That's just how it works when you have a judge with interdimensional jurisdiction and final ruling. So it's the weekend is beginning as you listen to this. So welcome, welcome. We've got a lineup of odd but true stories indeed today.
Can I just say?
Yes.
Last night.
Yes.
I was reading through all the stories. I hadn't opened Jot Form in a while, which is where they all get dumped. There are so many good stories in there right now that I was like, I don't even, what? How do I? So I just want to say thank you because I feel like I don't know what's happened in the past 2 weeks, but everybody came correct. And there's such a variety and there are just so many interesting ones. So I've already got like 7 tagged for future episodes. So
our story cup running over. Thanks to y'all. Yeah, thank you very, very much. And I love, you'll hear an example of it today. And perhaps as you listen today, you'll feel it. But I love to hear people inspired by past stories to write a future story. So who knows? Every episode you listen to may be the one that sets you off on that memory that unlocks and goes, oh, that was wild as hell. I got to tell them about it. And we are here for it for sure.
Absolutely. Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one is from Sophia, and it is called The Men in the Jeep. Hi, Christy and Heather. Thank you for making not only an amazing podcast, but also for creating space for people to tell their stories. I wanted to share a story all the way from Sweden, and also let you know that if you ever decide to do a Europe tour, I will definitely be there. I grew up in a small town in Sweden where nothing ever really happens. Crime rates are low and it's generally safe, but there's nothing exciting going on either. I often joke about how people from my town have too much time and too little to do, and exemplify it by telling about the time an industry complex was being demolished. It wasn't very exciting, to be honest, just a pile of debris that kept growing. But for some reason, there were always people there who watched the process, even when the workers had left for the day. Why people thought this was exciting is beyond me, but I think it shows pretty well what type of town it is. Anyway, my story takes place over 10 years ago during a lukewarm summer evening. It was 1 year after I'd graduated the Swedish equivalent of high school. It's called gymnasiet, in case you want to have a go at pronouncing it. I hope I did okay. And I was home for a short visit. I'd hightailed it out of town as quickly as I could after graduating and was living abroad at the time, but I had a few days off to visit family and friends. It was a Tuesday night in late August, and for Swedish people, that means that the days have started getting shorter and that most people already have had their annual holiday leave. Side note, it's required by law to have at least 5 paid weeks off every year, and that does not include bank holidays, something I'm very thankful for. I had been out with a friend, and suddenly it was 1 a.m. and time to go home. We lived in opposite directions, and my friend offered to walk me home, but I declined. It felt like a waste of his time, since the town was so quiet and safe. So why would I even need an escort? We parted ways and I started walking towards my parents' house that was around 15 minutes away. I knew the path well, since it was the same one I'd taken to school for over 10 years. I hadn't walked far when I heard a car approach behind me. The car didn't really sound like the regular Swedish Volvo most people drive here. It was much louder, its engine rumbling like thunder. Still, I didn't really react at first, but when the car passed me, it slowed down. I looked to my left and saw a green Jeep, and inside were 2 men who were staring at me as they were driving slowly next to me. They looked to be in their mid-30s, and I didn't recognize them. In such a small town, it could have been someone I knew who was slowing down to greet me, but I quickly realized that wasn't the case. After staring at me for what felt like a long while, but probably was less than 10 seconds, the men passed and continued on. I tried to wave off any worried thoughts as I continued walking. Maybe they had just thought I was someone they knew, or maybe they were lost and were thinking about asking for directions. Ahead of me, the Jeep came to an intersection and turned right, and I breathed out. I was continuing straight ahead, so I thought I was in the clear. However, as I crossed the intersection and looked to my right, I could see that the green Jeep was now making a U-turn. I quickened my pace and again tried to gloss over the situation. Maybe the men had just taken a wrong turn? As I was thinking this, I heard the rumbling engine behind me, and I looked over my shoulder only to be blinded by the Jeep's headlights. The road I was walking on didn't really lead anywhere, so there was no denying it now. The men in the Jeep were most likely following me. I hastened my pace even more and thought of a plan to get away from them. By pure luck, I was approaching a bike path that was inaccessible for cars, which meant that if I could get to the lane, the men would have to drive around several blocks to get to me. I saw my chance and took it, running towards the path while the engine still rumbled behind me. As I was running, I threw a glance over my shoulder and saw that the car was once again making a U-turn, continuing the chase. The bike path was around 250 meters long, or 820 feet, and connected to the road where the Jeep would eventually end up, so I knew I wasn't in the clear. I sprinted as fast as I could, and as I approached the connecting road, the sound of the rumbling engine was getting louder and louder. I knew I had to think quickly. I didn't know which road the men would choose, but remember that this was my old path to school. Because of this, I knew that there were several houses with big bushes lining the properties on the smaller road. I quickly ran into the garden of the first one I could see and hid behind the bush. As I tried to catch my breath, I once again heard the Jeep pass me. I was in the clear for now, but I still had around 10 minutes left until I was home. I ran the rest of the way, all the while hearing the rumble of the Jeep in the background as the men were driving around trying to find me. Sometimes the sound would become louder, and I had to dive behind a bush to avoid being seen. After what felt like an eternity, I managed to get to my parents' house unscathed, and I quickly locked the door behind me. I stood in the dark of the hallway for a long time, crying and hyperventilating, as I was trying to understand what had just happened. To this day, I don't know what the men wanted with me. I came to think of this story when I heard the story of the treadmill man, because like that incident, I never reported what had happened to me. Thinking back about it today, it feels insane to just let this kind of thing go without reporting it to the police, because who knows what the men did next. But as you said during the episode, the times were different, and this kind of incident would probably not have been taken seriously since, quote, nothing really happened. For years, I didn't even take it seriously myself, and I've told myself that they were probably just bored and driving around. Since they did in fact not catch me, I can't say for certain that they were after me, but why else would they turn around every time I went a different way? In Sweden, we have an expression that roughly translates to luck in the unlucky situation, and I feel like that summarizes my experience. If it had not been for the fact that I knew the area so well, who knows what would have happened. Anyway, my hometown is still sleepy and unexciting, and if you Google it, you will most likely find news articles about houses being sold, because there's not much else to write about. Still, I learned that night that you can never be too careful, and to always be on the lookout for the unexpected. And thanks to your podcast, I now know that what happened to me was a serious thing, even though, quote, nothing really happened. If you end up reading this on the podcast, I hope this story can help someone just like the story about the treadmill man helped me. Thanks again for a great podcast and stay creepy.
Oh, Sophia, yeah, like a situation like this, it's so scary because it doesn't happen every day, but it could happen any day. You know, it's just an unassuming, had a drink with a friend, and all of a sudden, 30 minutes later, an hour later, you're on the other side of your front door sobbing going, was I just in a chase?
Yeah. Like, ducking behind bushes and everything. I mean, the thought of being followed, especially by not one, but two men. There's what's worse than one man following you? Two men following you.
And they have a car and you don't.
Yeah. But you've got the advantage of knowing the area. And it seems like they were not locals since they were driving a different car. And I don't know. She didn't recognize them. Something... I can't even say it was this terrifying because I was also in a car, but I remember I was home from college, like my freshman year, staying at home, and I had gone out with some friends from high school or something. And on the way back home, once I got into like our neighborhood, out of nowhere, this car started following me. I don't know if I had accidentally like turned in front of them or they thought I'd cut them off or something. But, I mean, it was also, like, 1 a.m.
Yeah.
So, and also, I didn't have a cell phone at the time.
Yeah.
So, I couldn't, like, call my parents to, like, alert them of what was going on and to come outside when I got home. And they followed me, like, throughout the neighborhood, like, really close. And I was so scared. I didn't know what to do. And I finally was like, I gotta go home. That's, like, where safety is. So, I pulled into the driveway. And the house at the time, like, had a gate that, you know, you had to have open to go to the rest of the driveway, which I did not have. And the car pulled up in front of my house and was just idling while I sat in my car in the driveway, like, what the fuck am I supposed to do here? It's 1 a.m. Do I just start, like, blaring the horn?
Hope your parents come out. I'd rather an angry mom and dad than some rando in a car.
Who knows how many randos? The windows were super tinted. And I was calculating, like, could I get out of my car, run to the gate, and scale the gate before I have an interaction with these people? In hindsight, that would have been crazy. It's 10 feet tall. But they eventually just drove off, and I hightailed it into the house, woke up my dad, and I told him what happened, and he went outside and stuff, and nothing ever came of it, but I think about it all the time. Like, what were you going to do? Even if you were like, this person cut me off, it's 1 a.m.
Right.
I'm clearly like a teen.
Yes.
And so what, are you going to yell at me? Are you going to, I don't know.
Right.
It's funny. Just like Sophia's like, I don't know what could have happened, but I'm glad I didn't find out.
No, for sure. And it's, I don't mean funny and like, haha, but it's amazing that you say that, because I just saw a TikTok where these two young men who were maybe 16, 17 were being followed and harassed by this older lady. I say older, she's probably my age or in her 40s, but she wasn't a teen. She was like, should have fucking known better, grown up, and was like, she tried to like yeet a fucking water bottle through the open window and hit them. They rolled it up at the last second. They're just laughing. But I thought, what an interesting shift that we've had, because they're like, we're on TikTok. You're going to go on TikTok now. It's like this weird, interesting, almost like I don't even know what to say, but like where you almost feel like you're not alone if you have a phone with you. In a situation like that, not that that would, you know, late at night or whatever necessarily, but just the idea of like being followed. And nowadays we have that ability to be like, well, if anything happens, at least I have evidence of what you did to me. I'm texting this evidence to someone right now, or I'm straight up live streaming it to someone. So it's just another way that, you know, young people, I think, know how to use their phones in that way that we just didn't have that resource. The times I've been followed or whatever, you know, I either didn't have a cell phone or it didn't have a camera on it.
I would have loved to have had a cell phone.
Play my snake game on it, but that's about it.
I would have felt way safer if I'd had a cell phone. And now I think, man, I mean, nobody had cell phones in high school. Mm-hmm. That wasn't a thing we had, but we all did just fine. And in hindsight, it was probably better because nobody could text or harass pics, and there was no social media. But in an incident like this, yeah, I would have liked to have been able to call somebody so I didn't feel so scared. But
right.
Sometimes you don't have that advantage and you just got to use your own smarts, which Sophia is what you did. I'm very glad that you got out of there safely. And I promise you, we would love to come to a Europe tour.
100%.
We will definitely keep you posted on that.
I'd love to, absolutely. But thank you for writing in a day in the life of a woman yet again. Yeah. I mean, like I said, it's not an unusual story. I'm sure tons and tons of listeners have stories like that. So much like Treadmill Man made you not feel alone, Sophia, thank you for sharing this so someone else doesn't feel alone.
Absolutely.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Well, this next one is from Hannah, and it is called Bestie Got Possessed After Your Live Show. Hi, I recently attended your live show in Kansas City with my best friend, Lydia. The show was so much fun, but the rest of that night, not so much fun. At least y'all get a Freaky Friday out of it. Quick background. Bestie and I met in college, circa 2018, roomed together for a few years, and spent a chunk of quarantine locked in a dorm together. She's the Pisces to my Virgo, my twin flame, my soul sister. She's also the one who strongly hinted I visit her in Kansas, we're from Michigan, the week of your show. Back to the story. After 3+ hours on the road, we reached Kansas City and saw the show. Returning to the hotel, I thought falling asleep would be instantaneous. Y'all, I couldn't have been more wrong. I tossed and turned for what felt like hours, trapped somewhere between consciousness and sleep. Until I heard my friend mumble something, and then another mumble that sounded like, "Wait, come here." I froze, thinking, shit, she's been possessed. Like I said before, I've known her for years, shared a room with her countless times, and not once before this night had I ever experienced her sleep talking. She fell quiet, and I tried to doze off again. What felt like only moments later, she got up to use the bathroom. And thinking I was asleep, she kept the light off so it wouldn't blast through the frosted glass door like the second coming of Christ and wake me. In hindsight, I wish she would have just turned the light on. And that's when it happened. She came out of the bathroom, sat on the corner of the bed by my feet, touched my leg, then vanished into thin air. But then she came out of the bathroom again, sat on the corner of the bed again, touched my leg again, vanished again, and then again. The hotel phones on either side of the bed began to ring. Someone screamed in the hall, shrill, blood-curdling. Just like that, it was over. Bestie came out of the bathroom for real. The next morning, she told me she had fallen asleep in there. Sorry, Bestie, love ya, but it adds to the story. So God only knows whether this nightmare was seconds or minutes in the making. Whatever the case might have been, she got back in bed. I snuck a peek at the time on my phone. 3:55 a.m. Of fucking course. The witching hour. Anyway, the adrenaline spike from whatever the fuck that was wore off, though I fought to stay awake, safe from a relapse into the nightmare. Literally the fucking worst, am I right? I finally fell asleep. Slept great after that. P.S. Love y'all, keep up the great work, and keep it creepy. P.S.S. I don't actually think my bestie is possessed. I think maybe I ate too many mozzarella sticks at your show. Hannah.
Oh, Hannah, we've all been there. But for real, yeah, that mozzarella-induced fever. But when you have that dream where it's like set in the reality that you're in, those are so scary, dude. So scary.
They're scary. I would also, when I was in school a lot, I would have dreams that I had already woken up and started getting dressed for school. And it was so realistic. And then I would for real wake up and I'd be like, God damn it. I thought I was already dressed and ready to go. And now I'm just starting out.
Like, what have I done? I did that when I worked at the law firm a few times. And I was like, I thought I was already on the highway. And I'm like, I am in bed and I am very late.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
No, I've overslept. But that's truly a nightmare. But yeah, when you're just like, especially sleeping in an unusual place like a hotel room. I struggle with this when we tour, that like every, especially if they have like a strange little turnoff corner kind of thing for the bathroom, or glass over a bathroom door, or like a barn door instead of a fully closing bathroom door. I'm like, something's peeking.
Yeah. Yeah. We stayed in a place recently that had the barn door, bathroom door.
Yeah.
And for multiple reasons, I was not a fan.
I was on the pot and I could, if I angled myself the right way through the crack in the door, I saw Paris like on his laptop on the bed. And I was like, hey, I can see Paris. And I thought, that means he can see me.
Yep.
Wait a minute.
You can see them. They can see you.
Yeah. Anything like that, though. And it's like a strange environment and an unusual night or whatever. And you're like, oh, she's got a ghost in her. There's a ghoul in her. But yeah. Hey, buddy, just turn the light on next time. I'm good with it. Just wake me up. I'd rather be woken up.
Those lights are, it is like the second coming of Christ. So, I mean, I scare myself with how bright they are.
Yeah.
I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Christ.
No, that's why I sleep with that face mask on. If the ghoul's coming, it's just going to be a sneak attack. I'll never know.
You don't know. You don't know. Well, I'm glad the mozzarella sticks were so good that it sent you into a whirlwind that left us with a fabulous Freaky Friday story. That's what happens when you come to the live shows.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Gosh, Kansas City was such a good crowd. Y'all were.
Oh, yeah.
But later on, Paris was like, did you know that like Kansas City Chiefs fans like have set records for being the loudest fans? And I was like, I can see that and
I
hear
believe
that
it
from
makes
what
sense.
Happened to us. So you guys are incredible.
Oh, yeah. Super fun city. Can't wait to go back. Well, thank you so much, Hannah, for sending that in. And thank you so much for driving 3 hours with your bestie to come see the show and then thinking your bestie got possessed and still liking us and writing in.
Exactly. Thank you for loving us even through the curse.
This next one's from Luna, and it is called Arizona Cryptid Sighting, Red Ghost. Hi, ladies. Love y'all and the show. Luna from the Ducknail Story here. Thank you so much for all the kind words about that story. To clarify, I did not tell 911 that, yes, it was an emergency. In my silly, bother-nobody girlhood, getting attacked was not an emergency. To any woman or girl listening, don't ever be quiet. And if it feels like an emergency to you, it is. Don't let your politeness affect your safety. You will never inconvenience a first responder. This is a story from my childhood in Tucson, Arizona. I was a child of the late 80s, early 90s in a very rural area. During the long summer days, despite the heat, my friends and I were outside from sunup to sundown. We had a little routine in which we would walk from house to house seeing what friends were available to play. We would gather drinks and snacks from the neighbors and set off on our adventures. One distinguishing characteristic of this area is the large Tanque Verde Wash. A wash is a water runoff path in the desert, like a dry creek. When it rains, the wash floods and becomes a creek. Our favorite thing in the world was to play in the wash with or without water. During the summer, when the monsoons hit, huge amounts of natural grasses would grow to be about our size, 3 to 4 feet tall. In our adventures, we often ran into javelinas, wild boar, mountain lions, bobcats, coyotes, huge predatory and scavenger birds, rattlesnakes, whip snakes, and sometimes even llama or goats that escaped from a nearby neighbor. Other times, horseback trail riders would pass through. Side note, how on earth did our parents let us do this? Another thing we liked to do was walk from the neighborhood through the wash to a natural hot spring called Agua Caliente. At this time, it was not a protected park, and we were able to swim and dip our feet in the hot spring. There was also a larger man-made lake that overflowed when it rained. It is still around to this day, but due to climate change, the springs are no longer flowing. Despite our parents being borderline neglectful, these were some of the most beautiful days of my life. One such day, armed with Capri Suns and flappy sunscreen hats, my 10-year-old friends and I made our way through the desert to our little swimming hole. We heard a somewhat familiar noise, shuffling and sniffing sounds coming from the tall grass. We blew our whistles, the only safety equipment our parents left us with. Any other animal we had encountered had immediately run away when we blew our whistles. Not this time. The snuffling and snorting and shuffling got louder and louder. Then, the grass began to part down the middle of the wash. We waited, expecting a herd of javelina or a roaming mountain lion. The grass that was parted must have been about 4 feet in length horizontally, meaning whatever was there was huge. But we couldn't see the animal itself. It was like it was invisible. We looked at each other as if to confirm none of us were crazy. We kept watching to see a humongous effing camel materialize out of the grass. And not just any camel. This camel must have been 30 feet tall, and it was deep red in color. What I remember very clearly was the dripping drool coming from its mouth and the sheer length of its eyelashes. It strode so quickly, it cleared the distance between us fast, and we began to run. I don't remember how we got back or if we even spoke about it that day. We all just went home and didn't talk for a few days. The next time we spoke about it, we all remembered the same thing. Flash forward 15 years. My childhood friends and I reunited for the retirement of our favorite elementary school teacher. We were drinking and reminiscing after much time apart. One of the childhood friends brought up the camel, and we all spent time marveling at how our imaginations must have been wild. One of the attendees at this party stopped us and asked if we had ever heard the story of the Red Ghost. The Red Ghost is an old myth dating back to the late 1800s. During the Civil War, topographical engineers used to use camels as beasts of burden to map out wagon roads. Legend has it that one such camel went rogue after the prospector on its back had died, and the deceased rider was commanding it to do evil. It caused havoc by tipping wagons and terrorizing settlers. Legend continues to say that it was shot, but the skeleton rumored to be riding on its back was not found. The camel corps was very much real, led by the Greek-born Ottoman named Haji Ali, or High Jolly. The origin of the ghost cryptid, Red Ghost, came soon after. I swear to the bottom of my absolute being that the Red Ghost is real. I don't care if I saw it as a child, I saw it. No, it's not a superstition born of a violent war. It is a real, wandering, drooling, blinking creature. And it resides in the Tanque Verde Wash in Tucson, Arizona. I've thought about putting up trail cams in that area, but I've never gotten around to it. If this gets read on the pod and anybody else has had an encounter with Red Ghost, I'd love to connect somehow. Attached is a picture of High Jolly and his wife. They could both get it. A depiction of Red Ghost and an illustration of the camel corps. So what do you think?
This is wild. I love childhood stories like this where there, it makes me think of Stand By Me or It or something where there's like a crew of kids who saw something unbelievable. And as an adult, you're kind of like, surely, like, I'm remembering that wrong. But then when you get all together, it's like, no, it was very real. And it's like, oh, we all saw it.
And there's a backstory that makes it make even more sense.
Yeah, it's not like they saw a purple hippopotamus and it was like, oh, well, in this area, it's actually a red camel. It's like, it was weird. We saw a red camel. And it was like, oh, you mean the red ghost people have been seeing for 200 years? And it's like, yeah, that one. I guess that's the one.
That's wild. There's a lot of wild stuff to the story. One being, what a fun, fantastic childhood.
Right?
If you're not my kids.
I know. Luna, I can't imagine like a croc hunter.
Being like, yeah, there's bobcats and shit running all over the place. Have fun. But I mean, it was a different time. And honestly, I could have seen myself if we lived in an area with this doing shit like this too, especially my younger brother. He would have been doing shit like this for sure.
I'm sure. Would have loved it. Love that wash to play in. That's what a friend of mine grew up in East Tennessee and was like, yeah, there would just be like bears around. And I think now, like, oh God. Back then, you was just like, well, don't mess with them. They won't mess with you. If it's brown, lay down. If it's black, get back or whatever. And I was like, oh no. But yeah, that's quite a way to grow up. And but having that background of like, I've seen a bunch of different animals. I also know how to react, which is okay, well, it might be a javelina or it might be a mountain lion. We'll just get out of the way and let it pass. Again, it wasn't just some scared city kids out in the brush going like, we saw something crazy. It was like, we didn't see the animals we normally do. It was a big red camel.
A 30-foot tall camel. And the Camel Corps was a very real thing where they did use camels to, as Luna said, like beasts of burden, basically, to carry goods and stuff across long distances.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, truly, it does. If somebody dies on one and then it just runs around doing evil stuff.
Yeah.
I'm glad that it seemed to be on a mission and didn't care that there were a bunch of kids there. It had other business to do.
Exactly. If you're going to run into an evil cryptid, it's always best if you do so when it's got an appointment to keep. Because it's just going to be like, get out of the way. And you're like, okay, sorry, excuse us, sorry. We thought you were a wild boar. But, well, yeah, everybody listening, if you are from that area or you have any experience or anybody in your family, like you have, you know, grandma saw it way back when or whatever, please write it in so we can connect you with Luna. So her mini version of the Camel Corps, the ones that saw it as a child, they know they're not alone.
Yeah, and we'll definitely read it on the air, too.
We'd love
to. Got to get to the bottom of this.
We're going to solve it. Well, thank you, Luna. Sinisterhood will be right back.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
This next one is from Shelby, and the subject line is Full Moon ER Nurse Stories and Corn Skull Update. Hello.
This is why I was laughing so hard, everyone, because Heather has put the corn skull that we have in the studio, or her studio, with Sir Garther Brooks, but he's kind of cradling it like a baby, and I didn't notice it at first, so it's a little behind the scenes you got there.
I'm going to start doing that as an Easter egg for the episode. Like, I put the Kraken up for the Kraken episode, and for Cat Tours, it's just been sitting up there because it was the Kraken, but now we have the corn skulls in Sir Garther's hands.
Oh, I can't wait to keep... It'll be like a find what's different in the picture thing. I can't wait for this.
I'll keep rotating it. Well, Shelby writes, hello, 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 lovely ladies of Sinister. It's me, Shelby, aka the Corn Skull Girl. Last summer, I shared the tale of Cornelius, and I was so happy that y'all enjoyed it as much as I did. Here's a quick update. Cornelius is doing great, still living at my friend's house. Since I'm in grad school in the far-off lands of the greater Kansas City area, I never get to see him, so I have also ordered a duplicate for my office. My mom says that I should name it Cornholio, but I'm open to other ideas if you have any. Anyway, As I told y'all in my last story, my mother is a super cool nurse. She's the one who was maybe cursed or maybe blessed, as Heather suggested, by the corn skull. She recently moved from working in the emergency room to working at a jail. So while she was reflecting over her time in the ER, I asked her to write down some of her best stories. We kept it full moon themed in honor of the tour. You know how people say that a full moon brings out the crazies? Well, while in college, she did a project wherein she analyzed the relationship between ER visits and phases of the moon and found that there is a high correlation between psychiatric patients in the ER and the full moon. So, Law and Order voices, these are their stories. Shelby's mom writes, "Hello from Corn Skulls and Shelby's mom. She told me I had to write up a few stories about crazy things that have happened to me from working as an ER nurse during many full moons. There's a saying, if you look at the full moon and go, aw shit, you're either a nurse or law enforcement. As a matter of fact, I did a paper in nursing school on the increased incidence in the ER during a full moon, back in the Stone Ages when we charted on stone tablets and had no internet to research. Good old 1998. And the number was something like a proven increase of about 33% in ER activity during a full moon. I've seen some stuff. I've had a patient who was convinced he was God. I've had a patient who pulled a bag of meth out of his bunghole while he was in a four-point restraint. I had one psych patient who made me cry. I thought I was looking so cute in my hot pink scrubs with my lime green undershirt that exactly matched the string of my pants. She told me to, quote, carry my starburst-looking ass out of there. Rude. Never wore those scrubs again. However, I digress. I have chosen three stories for you, and if you want more, you know where to find them. The first, Star Spangled Shit. Psych patients in an ER setting are an entirely different breed, as are ER nurses. We're trained to handle immediate problems, not long-term. We're not always exactly therapeutic with our communication. One day, as the charge nurse, I was blessed enough to be able to encounter this lovely lady. Let's call her Methany. Side note, most psych patients are also on the drugs. Meth is death, crack is whack, you know? Anyway, the process of getting a psych patient transferred to an actual psych facility mandates that I have to draw blood from them and also obtain a urine specimen. We also have to make them change into either paper scrubs or a hospital gown to ensure they don't have contraband in their clothing. In this case, Methany was wearing a gown with no drawers on. Another common factor, why don't people wear drawers? As I was escorting her to the restroom, she suddenly stops in the middle of the hallway, coincidentally where the ambulances who were arriving had full view of the situation about to take place. She pops a squat and proceeds to drop a massive deuce. This thing was at least 6 inches long with two rest marks. She stands back up and then begins singing the Star Spangled Banner to it. Every single word. I was at a loss of words what to do, so, of course, I did what every single red-blooded American does when they hear that song. Put my hand over my heart. I've got EMTs coming in left and right, and I'm standing there saluting a turd. Do you know how long that damn song is? Just as she gets done, my ER doc rounds the corner and immediately bursts out laughing at the sight. Methany calmly stands up and goes, "What are you looking at, you unpatriotic prick?" Good times. My ER doc asked me what's happening. All I could say was, "It's a full moon, duh, you unpatriotic prick. I do not get paid enough for this. And yes, I had to go flush this very special American turd." Full moon codes. Not only do psych visits increase during a full moon, but so do the incidences of codes. I'd really like to figure out why folks die so often during a full moon, so maybe that can be one of y'all's next inquiries. Anyway, I'll tell you about two of the creepiest encounters I've had during a full moon code. The first one happened when I was a baby nurse, 2 months fresh from nursing school, working med-surg, oh my god, kill me now, in a small hospital night shift. There was a code team, and if someone coded anywhere in the hospital, those lucky folks got to go. Well, this particular night, it was my turn. About 3 a.m., the witching hour, I hear, "Code blue, second floor, room 224. Code blue, second floor, room 224. I take off running. I'm about to save a life. I get there, and there's a little old man, probably 145 years old from the looks of him. His son is losing his shit, screaming for us to save his daddy. So we go to work. We coded this poor soul for over an hour. Did I mention this was a full moon during the summer and it was hot? We were all begging the doc to call the code so we could stop breaking the guy's ribs and blowing out his lungs. We would get a blip of a heart rate, and then it would stop in the next 30 seconds. I was literally soaking wet with sweat. It was running down my ass cheeks. This hospital was old, and there happened to be a sliding glass door in the room that led to a little sort of balcony area. I opened the door, and immediately I felt a cold breeze. But the weird thing was, it came from inside of the room toward the outside. Only myself and one other nurse who was standing there felt it. There was an old LPN who had forgotten more than I'll ever know. She looked at me and goes, "Yep, there goes his soul. Y'all can stop now. He ain't coming back." We never got another single blip of a heartbeat after that. We stopped. From that day on, every time I work an unsuccessful code, I go open the door to the outside so the soul can escape. My second most creepy full moon code experience happened recently. We had a coded lady from one of the area death camps, also known as nursing homes, for a good 30 minutes to no avail. I was familiar with this lady as I had taken care of her multiple times, and every time she came in, the first thing she always said was, "I'm hungry." We called the code, and I had cleaned up the body, opened the door to the ambulance bay, and we had our little pause where one of the nurses will say a prayer for the patient and their families, and also for us, because no matter what, a code is traumatic. Well, as I was waiting for the funeral home to come get this lady, of course, crazy waits for no one, so I had a psych patient in the bed next to her, separated by a curtain. She had watched us work the code, and she knew the patient had died. In an ER, life goes on. You have to move on to the next chore, and it was lunchtime. I took the psych patient her lunch tray, and she said, "Oh, is that for me?" Well, ER nurses have a completely dark, terrible sense of humor, and my response was, "Well, I don't think she'll be needing it." The psych patient looked at me seriously and said, "Yeah, she said she's not hungry." When I tell you I threw that tray on the bedside table and noped the hell out of there as quick as I could. Hopefully you got a kick out of a couple of these full moon stories, and we'll see you ladies soon in Kansas City. Shelby here again. If you like these from my mom, one day I'll also have her write down the tale of Darissa. That's a wild one. Or the guy that aggressively ate a $20 bill in the middle of Dollar General and was subsequently brought to the ER. Or maybe even the tale of Spider-Man, the psych patient who swore that he could, and tried to for many hours, climb the walls during one of the clinical rotations she was leading students through. Thank you all for taking the time to read our tales. I've been living in the Midwest for a year now, and every time I hear your accents, it makes me feel right at home. P.S. Mom and I are so excited to see y'all live in KC. I'll bring my corn skull if you bring yours. Shelby.
Well, thank you so much for coming to the show. We hope that you both loved it. And, you know, in the show we talk about, does the full moon cause things in an ER to increase? And we say every time, we're going to take the people that work there, the first responders' word as truth. And this did not disappoint.
Yeah, 9 times out of 10. Actually, I'm going to go ahead and say 10 times out of 10. I'm going to defer to the ER nurse. And that I will admit I'm biased because my very favorite cousin is an ER nurse and is a brilliant just like source of all. And also like in the worst moments of our lives that she's been around, she's always like the rock. So it takes a special kind to be an ER nurse. So shout out to your mom, Shelby, and everybody who's ER nurses or any kind of nurses. But, you know, when you're the one that they're running in because something heinous that we're all at home watching on the news happened, those people are going somewhere. And the place they're going is your job if you're an ER nurse and or doctor. And so that is I'm not going to be one to go, things aren't worse during the full moon. It's like, you know what? You're the one handling all this. And it sounds like your mom is handling them. So congrats on the job. Move. What a storied career you have had.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell somebody it's not the full moon when I'm having to salute a turd that had two rest breaks, which, by the way, never heard that used when describing that, and filed it away because immediately knew what you meant and was like, damn, that's one, funny, but two, also helps with letting us know.
No, we know.
What we're working with here. Oh, but yeah, it, like you said, it takes a certain breed, Shelby and Shelby's mom, to be able to do this. And thank you for doing it because it is in the ER, life has to go on. Most people, if you just helped save someone's life and or you were unsuccessful, you would take the rest of the day off, probably a week or two.
You know?
ER nurses, it's like, all right, it's lunchtime. We got to move on to the next thing. And
right.
You got to make sure you're taking care of yourself, too, because that's a lot of trauma to take on, you know, day in and day out. So thank you for doing the hard work. And I totally get having to develop a dark kind of sense of humor mm-hmm. to be able to cope with it. I feel that.
Oh, no, definitely. Yeah, that's one thing you have to do, because like you said, you don't get that luxury of like, well, I'm going to take several mental health days in a row. It's mm-hmm. like, well, you have to bring you have to go give an IV bag to that person and they need that. And you have to go clean their bed and they need their food. And, you know, it's just never, never ending. But thank you all for coming to the show. Thank you for being the ones to introduce us to our baby boy, our own Cornelius Cobb. But I'm glad you're getting your own, Shelby. You get. I like Cornholio. I think your mom's right.
Cornholio is good. No.
First idea, best idea.
I think you go with it. We neglected to mention the tour up top like normal. But
Oh, yeah.
If you are like, what is this tour that they are speaking about? We are on tour right now, our full moon energy tour, where you too can learn all of the things that Shelby and her mother learned about the moon up in the sky.
The side of the moon. Yeah, it's all your favorite things that we talk about on the air. You know, we talk about crime, cryptids, conspiracies, creepy woo-woo stuff, ghouls, ghosts, goblins, and monsters. It's all of that. What the moon does to us, what lurks up there, and what really happened during the Apollo mission, according to the folks that were actually boots on the literal ground. And they've got some stories, and we're here to share them. So go to sinisterhead.com/live shows and get your tickets before we see you in San Diego, Phoenix, and Las Vegas before we round it out. In just 2 months, we're going to be done. We got three shows in September and then the last show in Dallas. I started getting sentimental. You know me, I'm sentimental as hell. I was getting sentimental about it the other day. I was like, we only get to do this 4 more times. I'm holding an imaginary cup in my hand because I was drinking my coffee at the time. Just sipping my coffee, thinking about how much fun we have out on the road.
It's been a ton of fun.
Thank y'all who's come to the show so far. And we can't wait to see y'all in California and Nevada and Arizona. Maybe mm-hmm. while we're in Arizona, we'll see the red ghost too.
Shit. Mm-hmm.
Finna go.
Are we in Tucson?
No, we're going to be in Phoenix. But the thing is 30 feet. It probably covers a lot of ground.
Yeah,
it's a 30-foot tall camel.
There fast. Yeah. Fast, I mean, we could probably find it.
We'll put it on the VIP
drone
list
up for looking around for it.
For sure. Well, thank you, Shelby. We're so glad y'all got to come out to the show and send us a picture of your Cornelius when you get him all in place in your office. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Extra value meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to care for yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps, ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com today for 10% off your first month.
Well, this next one's from Haley, and the subject line is, a Bigfoot encounter? ? But I'm hoping for an exclamation mark. Haley writes, hello, beautiful ladies. I've written in with a couple of cult stories, and I thought I'd switch it up for this Freaky Friday. It's my mom's story, and one of my favorites, so I hope you'll like it too. It was the mid-1970s, and my mom and her parents were on vacation visiting family on the Oregon side of the Columbia River Gorge. My mom, who I'll be calling Sharon in this story, was about 14 and hiking with her parents to see one of the many beautiful waterfalls that Oregon has to offer. The trail they were hiking on was relatively narrow, with the train sloping very steeply up to the left and down to the right. As with most forests in the Pacific Northwest, the trees on either side of the trail were so thick that one can only really see a few yards into the forest. Sharon was walking right next to her mom, and her dad was several feet ahead of them on the trail. The three of them were completely alone on the trail, as far as they could tell, and there were no other cars parked at the trailhead that they had left from. As she hiked, Sharon started to hear rustling in the brush up the mountain to her left. She listened closer and heard a pattern in the rustling. Footsteps. When Sharon stopped walking, the footsteps stopped after another step or two. When she started walking again, the footsteps started again, but at a different pace than hers. It couldn't possibly be some sort of echo of her own footsteps, and the terrain up the hill should have been too steep and dangerous for a person to be traversing. She stared deeply into the trees, straining her eyes, but she couldn't see anything. Creeped out, Sharon and her mom insisted that they turn back and head to the car. After a while, she stopped hearing the footsteps. To this day, my mom believes Bigfoot was in the woods with her that day. It was the Pacific Northwest, after all. After Bigfoot, our other theories are that a serial killer or a bear was stalking them. I'd prefer the bear out of the three, of course.
I also would prefer the bear out of all three of those, which is wild. And I honestly, when I read this, I thought, would I prefer a bear or Bigfoot? Bigfoot. And I came to the conclusion that I prefer the bear because it's a little more known to me than Bigfoot.
I'd rather have a Bigfoot. I'm taking an unknown Bigfoot over a known bear any day. Because what if it's a cocaine bear?
What if
it's Oregon? It's probably a weed bear.
What if it's a Bigfoot that wants to take you as its lover?
Then she died doing what she always wished would happen to her, and put that on my gravestone, I guess. Whatever. It's fine. Let me go. Don't come looking for me. If I got took by a Bigfoot, leave me.
I don't know, honestly. Would I rather it be a Bigfoot or a bear? Because a Bigfoot, to me, is going to have a more evolved way of thinking like a human would than a bear. Mm-hmm. So I want man the least.
Yes.
Bigfoot is like not quite a man, not quite an ape. He's in between.
Not a man, not quite a Bigfoot.
But he still could have the thinking of a man.
Yeah.
And that's why I chose bear. But maybe nice. I get a nice mom Bigfoot and she's like, come back and meet all my Bigfoot babies. And it's the cutest thing I've ever seen.
Take a big swig of this yowie milk.
Oh,
well,
yikes.
Haley, I agree with your mom. I think it was a Bigfoot. It had to have been. It's the 70s in Oregon. Honestly, serial killer, that is likely, just generally based on the 70s in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
But I think the footfall sounds, it's more likely a Bigfoot. But thank you, Haley. You know I'm always looking for a Bigfoot story.
What if, though, a serial killer or any man was really stalking them and tracking them?
That's why when I go hiking, I have mace, a personal alarm, and a big stick with a metal ball bearing in the end that truckers use to whack tires with.
Gotta go prepared.
They're like, this woman went berserker mode in the forest. Yeah. I listen to jazzed up music. I'm like, you be like feminine nominon that I'm not like whacking the shit out of somebody's knees. My stick, don't roll up on me on my hike. That's my safe place.
Yeah, not That's unless you're cocaine place. Bear, and then you
no.
climb on its back and go through a wild ride through the woods.
Then I'll take my headphones out and just pump the music up, and then we're just like me and cocaine bear, like dancing. But
cocaine bear is a huge Chapel Roan fan.
The way that I walk in the forest, it just looks like I'm like, you want to fight right now? And everyone's like, I'm just trying to hike. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I thought. Keep going.
They're like, you keep going. I'm also just going. Why did this get aggressive all of a sudden?
They're going to call it in on me. You know what? I'd rather be the call in on than the one having to call.
Yeah, that's true.
I sound wild. It's because I am. Well, anyway, thank you very much, Haley. And tell your mom, you know what? Keep an ear open because maybe he's going to come back for her someday.
Ooh.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Well, this last one's from Kate, and the subject line is, "The time my mom took it too far." Hey, Sinisterhood friends. Christy, last week you said you can't wait to hear all the Freaky Friday submissions of parents pranking their kids. So here is mine. I was about 4 years old the day my mother traumatized me for life. I remember it like it was yesterday. I was laying in bed with my older sister. I slept in her room often as I've always been extremely scared of the dark and what lies in it. I was laying closest to the door, and on the other side of the bed was my older brother who had made a pallet on the floor. They were talking about school drama while little old me was in my own world, daydreaming about the day I too would have school gossip to share. Suddenly, something touched my leg. It felt like a hand, but as soon as it had happened, it was gone. I quickly scooted next to my sister and yelled, "Something just touched me!" To which her and my brother both scoffed and tried to convince me it was probably the blanket rubbing me wrong. I said, "No, it wasn't. I felt it. Something touched me. It felt like a hand." My sister replied, "Caitlin, you're being dramatic. Just go to sleep." I knew I wasn't winning this one, so I turned over and tried to close my eyes. They were wrong, but maybe they weren't. They always said they're smarter than me. Maybe they were. Maybe it was the blanket. Then it happened again. I shot up, exclaiming, "It did it again! Something touched my leg! Something's trying to get me!" In later retellings of the story, this was the moment my brother believed me enough that he tried to scoot underneath the bed to hide. Every man for himself, I guess. But as soon as he grabbed the bottom of the bed frame, and before my sister could get her words out, there it was, the monster who was trying to kill me. Jumping up from the floor with its arms raised in the air, roaring so loud I felt a rumble in my bones. It was as tall as the ceiling. It was huge and seemed to tower over us. I screamed and buried myself under the covers. My sister did the same, pulling herself closer to me. At least we would die together. I waited for its claws or teeth to slash into me. Its roar seemed to last a lifetime, but then it started laughing. Its laugh sounded vaguely familiar. Like my mom's laugh. Wait. What the heck? I screamed, "Mom!" She couldn't contain her laughter, just as I couldn't contain my sobs. It only took her a few seconds to realize she had made a huge mistake. The other kids were fine at that point, making fun of the other for being scared and saying, "I knew it was Mom. I was just playing along." But me, I wasn't okay. I'm still not. I didn't sleep alone until I was 11 years old. At one point, my parents got so tired of me sneaking into their bed in the middle of the night, they bought me a couch to keep in their room. They never said a word to me, though. They couldn't. It was their fault I was like this. To this day, I still sleep with a nightlight, and I shut my bedroom door so no monsters, or moms, can army crawl up to my bed and terrorize me.
All I see in my head is the gif of Job going, "I've made a terrible mistake."
Oh, no. When the kid is sobbing, and then you're like,
oh, I've made a huge mistake. No. This is when you realize what I thought was going to be funny actually is a core memory. And I'm going to end up buying a sofa because my kid can't sleep by themselves.
Yeah, this is, you know, one in a series of these parent pranks. And not one of them am I like, you should do that with your kids. Like, that sounds like a great idea. Every one of them, I'm like, the 90s were fucking wild. Oh, we didn't know what we were doing back then. Children,
we have adults. A lot more, too. I'm spacing them out. But there's been a lot of parent pranks that have come in. So get yours in if you have them. But they are all like, Christ, were we trying to just get a therapy bill in the future?
But truly, it's like something like that when you're that age, I'm sure child psychologists that listen or therapists or whatever could explain the reasoning. But there's something about being at that age and you're like, my whole foundation of understanding of the world just got rocked because I was like, although I'm scared of them, monsters aren't really real. And then I'm just sleeping, you know, in here with my siblings because I'm just a silly, fraidy little cat. And then something legitimately grabs your foot and you're like, it was real all along. It does something to your brain.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Caitlin. Well, yeah. Does something to your brain and then does something to your parents who are like, I think I just really, hold on, what's her name? Does something to your parents who, after bedtime that night, it's like, I think I really may have fucked up Kate.
Yeah.
I really think, I think we need to get her to see somebody.
She's freaking out. Oh, well, you're not wrong for, you know, having that, you know, that reaction and having that lasting impact from it, because that does, when your very fear comes to life, even if it wasn't a prank situation, your brain doesn't know the difference. So our brains are stupid. Like, they tell us that we're sad when we're not sad, or that we're something horrible is happening when it's only in our brain. And so when something real happens and you have that response, like you're cuddled with your sister thinking this is how we go. And it just turns out to be mom.
Was in probably high school when I remember waking up. It was morning time, probably afternoon. Let's be real. And I was awoken because my father had snuck into my room and was placing a giant plastic fake but realistic looking water bug on my pillow. Mm. And I got very upset because, yes, one, I don't like to be woken up. No. Two, I certainly don't like to be woken up by something like that. But that, they all thought shit like that was funny.
That's like, that was the vibe back then that we don't now. Like I said, the victims of those pranks are the ones that are parents now would be like, I would not do that to my children.
That's when you end up on a live stream and your best friend is having to save your life because a water bug has shown up and yes, you have PTSD.
Exactly. Exactly. It's something that you still deal with many years later. So you're not wrong, Kate. You're not alone. Christy, we all do from our childhood. I'm like, my sister used to jump out from behind corners. Do you think I don't go around every corner like,
like, oh, ready? Dude. Ella will come up in the bedroom, like if I'm doing my makeup behind me, and just go, boo. And I'll, every time I hit the ceiling, and I finally was like, Ella, I love to be silly, but it for real makes me jump out of my skin. Yeah.
You're like, my heart can't take it. Like, I'm just
going to have a heart attack.
Yeah, I'm going to throw up. The adrenaline is filling my stomach. I can't live like this. Well, thank you, Kate. You are not alone, clearly.
Oh, well, thank you to everybody who sent in your Freaky Friday stories. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. If you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next, or dive into over 900 hours of various segments like Dear Sinister, Judge Christie, True Crime Headlines, Heather's Saves, a ton of Reddit bits, and more.
Absolutely. When you join, you not only get those weekly bonus content, you also get ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live bonus content, monthly minisodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole entire internet.
And just for joining for free, you get an archived audio bonus content released once a month just because we love you and want to say thank you. And if you want even more than that, you can join for free at any level, check out all the perks, and just cancel anytime before the trial is over and you don't get charged, or we hope we like what you see and you stick around.
Sign up for that annual membership and you get a month for free. Also, head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out Sinisterhood merch like t-shirts, mugs, tote stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos, and use that discount from Patreon to get a deal.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show, follow us on socials, and check out the episode description. You'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists and links to all those tickets for the Full Moon Energy Tour.
Yeah, you can follow us on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod, like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Check out the show on YouTube. We have Wednesday episodes on there for free. They're ad-free on Patreon, and clips of the show on TikTok. And don't forget to order your personalized video shout-out on Cameo. Christy, where are people be able to find you on the internet?
Well, the only places I can guarantee you are Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. But who knows?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's why I don't Google my name. I don't know. I don't want to know where I'm going to turn up.
Me neither. For me, for real skis being me on the internet, Heather versus the world.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
Moto Casino, America. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.